You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, a radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I am Pastor Ron Barnes, minister of the Heritage Free Presbyterian Church, located in the Hart Highlands area of Prince George. We are at 4020 Balsam Road. I cordially invite you to visit our services. We have Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning service at 11 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. The opening hymn is, Guide Us, O Thou Great Jehovah. The title of the message is A Sinner Plucked from a Fig Tree. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and this meant that he was rich and successful. It also meant that he was hated by the people. Tax collectors were known for their unethical and shady practices. When Jesus Christ said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree, for I must dine with you this day. It must have come as a complete surprise to Zacchaeus. Christ shows in Zacchaeus that he came to save sinners. I pray that the message will speak to your heart. But before the message, another hymn.
Oh, fresh anointing upon the preacher and hearer alike, that as we come before thy holy word, that thou would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive thy word by faith. So, Father, we come to thee now and we ask thee, Father, for help and for the opportunity to glorify thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While living in the United States, I can remember going to a place called Anderson Orchard in Indiana. Anderson's is famous for their wide selection of apples. Our favorite kind were called the Matsu apples. They tasted delicious and were great for baking pies. At the orchard, you had the option of either picking your own apples or buying apples at their store. Our scripture passage in Luke chapter 19 reminds me of my experience picking apples at Anderson's orchard. We read of a man by the name of Zacchaeus who climbed a tree to see Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that Zacchaeus was a short man. He needed a place high enough to see the Lord. A sycamore fig tree served that purpose. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us or reveal why Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord. Perhaps he was just curious and wanted to see for himself the one who everyone in Palestine was talking about. And maybe he felt an emptiness in his own heart and wanted Christ to fill it. Whatever the motive was, it is clear from the text that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Little did the chief tax collector know that this day would change his life forever. Not only did Zacchaeus see Jesus, he met him personally and later had Christ dine in his own home as an honored guest. What a difference a day makes when Christ comes and calls a sinner to salvation. Now, just like when I plucked apples from that orchard tree, so too the time was ripe for Zacchaeus to be plucked from the fig tree by the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. Here we have a soul, the chief of tax collectors, handpicked by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was ripe for salvation. It was time for Zacchaeus to be saved. Therefore, the title of my message is simply, A Sinner Plucked from a Fig Tree. First of all, notice the sinner identified. Many people in his day believed Zacchaeus was the worst kind of sinner. He was a publican or a tax collector. Well, historians tell us that the Romans were forced to employ publicans or tax collectors from the moral outcasts of society, from among Jews that agreed to go over and work for the Romans and force their Jewish brethren to pay tribute to Caesar. The acceptance of such a position was bound up with the most profound moral fall. It was associated not only with national, but above all, religious betrayal. This is who the publicans were. This is why they were surrounded by justifiable hatred and scorn. And that's why people hated the publicans. He was the chief among publicans, which fueled even more hatred and animosity against him. His sins were great. The sins of greed, of covetousness, idolatry, extortion, and corruption. These are just to name a few. But what we see in Zacchaeus is true of every one of us here today. Zacchaeus was a sinner, and so we are sinners. We are lawbreakers and undeserving of Christ's grace and mercy. The Bible identifies all of us. We read in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. See, Christ died on the cross not for good people, but for the ungodly. Do you identify yourself as a sinner today? And the only way we can be saved from our sins and enter heaven is through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we see here in Luke 19. This is what Christ is trying to teach us by plucking this man from the tree. This is the last man in the world that people thought should have been saved. But yet Christ shows his amazing mercy and grace and plucks the chief of publicans. On the one hand, Zacchaeus was a very rich man, the text says. And he got all his riches through a lot of the extortion and lies and cheating of people. That was what made him rich. But on the other hand, he was poor. There was an emptiness in his life. Do you know what I'm talking about? Zacchaeus perhaps felt that same void in his heart. He wanted to climb that tree and see the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ filled that void. He never was happy. He was rich, but he wasn't happy. You know how many people today in this world are rich, but they're not happy? Zacchaeus wasn't miserable when he came down from that tree. The scripture says he was glad because he finally found what he was looking for. Peace and joy and gladness. All the money in the world couldn't buy Zacchaeus eternal life. It's not anything that you can bring to the Lord. It's simply clinging to the cross. Nothing to thy feet I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's where we have to come. We have to be humble. We have to be low. And the Lord humbled him and saved him. He plucked him from that fig tree. And oh, if there's someone here today, I pray that Christ will pluck you from that tree. But secondly, not only do we see the sinner identified, but we see the means employed. There's something that Zacchaeus needed to use in order to see Jesus. And that was the tree. The famous missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, learned later in his life how Christians should not be ignorant of the means God uses in leading and saving His people. We read an excerpt from his biography when he was a young man. In September 1835, 2 years to the day after he visited the Crystal Palace, Taylor terminated his medical studies without finishing his degree and sailed for China as a missionary of the Chinese Evangelization Society with instructions to proceed forthwith to Nanjing. Before the ship reached Land's End, he had a spiritual crisis in his life. The square-rigged sailing ship, the doomed Dumfries, ran into a storm off the coast and was almost shipwrecked. The young Taylor was racked with guilt. Should he wear a swimming belt during a storm? Did a swimming belt constitute means which would indicate a one of faith and remove me from the direct and immediate leadings of God? He gave it away. He felt like if he put that swimming belt on, that was a lack of faith. Therefore, he gave it away to someone else, preferring to rely on faith to protect him. Fortunately, since the ship passed through no more storms, he did not have to test his resolve. Later in his life, Hudson looked back at that time in the ship and said he should have worn his swimming belt. He realized that God appoints means to help and preserve His people. He uses things in our life to bring us to Christ. We can't ignore that. In the example of Hudson Taylor, it wasn't a lack of faith to put that belt on. It was the utilization of the means that God had given to him to keep him safe and to keep him from harm. And so too, in Luke 19, Zacchaeus did not allow a few obstacles to get in his way of seeing Christ. He couldn't see Christ because of his stature. He couldn't see Christ because of the crowd. Despite these disadvantages, Zacchaeus utilized the means of climbing a tree to put him in a better position to see Christ. And oftentimes, the Lord uses means to help us see Christ. If Zacchaeus stayed where he was, he would have never seen Christ. We saw this big tree. He says, I'm going to climb this tree. You know, he didn't care what people thought. Sure, he looked ridiculous up there. A little short man in the tree. And he used the means. I can remember in my own life how my public high school teacher was the means in leading me to Christ. You could say he was my tree. The Lord used him in my life to help me see Jesus. Through this man, I attended a Bible study before school. I became a member of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I started reading the Bible on my own for the first time. He was my tree, or the means the Lord used to help me see Jesus. Is there someone in your own life who was the means in leading you to the Lord? Maybe a co-worker, maybe a neighbor, a friend, a teacher, a family member. And that's a wonderful blessing to be able to look back and see how the Lord worked and who He used in drawing you to salvation. And we think very highly of those individuals. And that was the tree from where Christ plucked me and saved my soul. We've considered the sinner identified and the means employed. Let us look thirdly at the time appointed. Just like there's a time appointed for us to die, so there's a time appointed for sinners to be saved. Christ went to Jericho for the specific purpose of plucking Zacchaeus from the fig tree. And there was nothing that could alter that course. The Lord decided to save a remnant of people in this world before the world even began. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. that this one sinner would be saved in Jericho as the Lord Jesus Christ came through that city and saved that man's soul. It wasn't by luck. It wasn't by something that we did. But because Christ went and in His mercy and grace plucked him and took him down and saved his soul. That's what He does. That's why salvation is of the Lord. See, when Christ called Zacchaeus, he obeyed immediately. He didn't say, well, let me think about it, Lord. When Christ calls a sinner, there's no, well, let me think about it. There's no hesitation. Christ comes and calls a sinner. He calls them. And you come. You notice Zacchaeus was really miserable and really reluctant, wasn't he? No. He came down from the tree and he was happy. He was glad. He came down from the tree and embraced Christ. That's what sinners do when Christ calls the sinner. That's their response. One of joy and gladness and happiness. And theologians refer to this call as the effectual calling. A shorter catechism question, 31, asks the question, what is effectual calling? What is it? The answer is, effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, He doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the Gospel. Wonderful definition. Wonderful application in the life of Zacchaeus. This is exactly what happened to Zacchaeus when Christ called him. He embraced Christ. How this aptly describes what happens to Zacchaeus and what happens to any sinner who hears the voice of Christ. See, the devil will want you to think, well, become a Christian, you're just miserable and it's no fun and you're just always having to do and you just don't have any fun and pleasure. That's the opposite when it comes to the true effectual call of Christ in your life. It makes you joyful, makes you happy. Makes you really start living your life. Before you come to Christ, you never were living. You were just dead. You were a dead man in a shell walking around. But when Christ came, He breathed life into you. When Christ plucked Zacchaeus out of that tree, He finally gave Zacchaeus what he longed for, and that was real life. Real living. That's what effectual call is. And if Christ is calling you today, if Christ is speaking to you today, and you know if He is or not, you know if Christ is speaking to your heart, then don't turn away from that call. Don't say, I don't want to come now. I'll put it off. I'm still young. I have my whole life to live. If Christ is calling you, you come. You obey immediately. Because you don't know what a day will bring forth. If you leave this place today, and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, you could walk out later today or out across the street and get hit by a car and you're dead. No. When that call comes, when the voice of Christ comes and starts pricking at your conscience, then don't ignore it. Come to Him like Zacchaeus did. And He will give you that joy that you so desperately long for. Will you respond to the call of Christ? Will you gladly submit to the word of the Lord in your life? That's what Zacchaeus did. And that's what we must do. The time is appointed for sinners to be saved. I don't know the counsel of God. I don't know His wisdom. Maybe there is someone in this meeting today where from eternity past, the Lord has appointed that this is the day that you're to be saved. Today is the day of salvation for you. And lastly and fourthly, we look at the fruit displayed. The fruit displayed. Zacchaeus was a changed man after Christ called him. We read in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have given anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. So the words of Zacchaeus indicate that there was no more going on in this man than moral reformation. There was more going on in this man than just a reformation in heart. It wasn't merely turning over a new leaf. Here is a man who was completely changed. See, salvation is not just trying to become a good person and reform your life. See, true salvation changes your heart, changes the way you think, changes the way you live. It's not just reformation, it's regeneration. It's the new birth. And Zacchaeus was a regenerate man. He was born again. He was a new creature in Christ. And a mark of regenerate man is he repents of his sins. He turns away from his sins. And this is what Zacchaeus is doing. He's having Christ over to his house. He stands up and he talks to Christ. And he tells Christ his sins. Basically confesses to Christ his sins. What have you done? And he said, Lord, I've done some bad things in my life. I've done some really wicked things in my life. And he tells Christ that. That's what he's doing. He's confessing his sins to Christ. And that's who you need to confess your sins to. You need to confess your sins to Christ. You need to follow what Zacchaeus was doing. You don't need to go to confess your sins to a man. You need to go to the one who can forgive you of your sins, absolve you of your sins, Jesus Christ. And Zacchaeus was doing that. And that's the mark that he was a changed man. One Bible commentator tells us, while repentance is not a work that earns salvation, repentance unto salvation does result in works. It is possible to truly and fully change your mind without that causing a change in action. In the Bible, repentance results in a change in behavior. That is why John the Baptist called people to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. A person who has truly repented will give evidence of a changed life. The Scripture is replete with verses that talk about that a man who's truly changed will produce fruit in his life. There will be a difference in their life. Albert Barnes, the great commentator, says this was not a proclamation of his own righteousness that Zacchaeus was doing, nor the ground of his righteousness, but it was the evidence of the sincerity of his repentance and the confession which with the mouth is made unto salvation. That's what Zacchaeus is showing us. That he is bearing fruit, displaying the fruit of salvation. Listen to what John Gill writes. The Israelite, when he brought the basket of the first fruits to the priest, confessed before the Lord his God. This is what Zacchaeus is doing here. He's taking something from Deuteronomy chapter 26. Zacchaeus directed his speech to Christ, being as he was now convinced, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, who knew the genuineness of his repentance, that it was hearty and real, and the sincerity of his expressions and resolutions, and upon what principles he acted and proposed to do as follows. See, Zacchaeus didn't say, Lord, I'm sorry. See, Zacchaeus meant it. Zacchaeus was sincere. Zacchaeus was devout. He never wanted to do that again. He never wanted to do that sin again. And the fruit of that was he's going to reimburse, or he was going to give back to those people who he stole from. He says, Lord, the half of my goods I give unto the poor, not to make satisfaction for the sins he had committed, but to testify his sense of them and his repentance for them, and as willing to do good with what he had gotten, which shows that the disposition of his mind was altered, and of a covetous oppressor he was become tender, kind, and liberal. Here is a changed man. And he says, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation or by extorting anything from him on any pretense, by making an unjust demand upon him or in any oppressive way, by defrauding and tricking and by doing him any injury in any form of manner, I will restore him fourfold. Now, that idea of the fourfold is found in Exodus chapter 22. The same that was done in case of sheep stealing. If you were in the Old Testament, stole a sheep, and you got caught, you had to restore to the one who you stole from four sheep. And in such a case as this, the law only required the principal with the fifth part added to it. But Zacchaeus proposes, as much as in this case of theft, in which was rarely used back then during the day of Zacchaeus, no one ever really lived according to this law, according to this rule. But he was so sincere, he was so convicted of what he had done was wrong, he wanted to do the maximum. He wanted to give back which he stole fourfold. And this was done by Zacchaeus to show the truth and reality of his repentance. Are you here today and you say you're a Christian? You profess Christ as your Savior, but where is the fruit of your repentance? You still live in the world. You still desire the things of the world. You still want the things of the world. In the life of Zacchaeus, here is a man who not only wanted to make things right, but he never wanted to do these things again. He was a changed man. He didn't make excuse for them. He didn't take them lightly. He didn't want to continue in them. He confesses them to Christ and makes things right, not only with Christ, but with his neighbor. Again, the question is there fruit of repentance in your life? Do you confess your sins to Christ? Even today, we all have to come before the Lord and confess our sins. I have to confess my sins to Christ. I have to say, Lord, I've sinned in thought, word, and deed. I've failed to live up to your standard. Forgive me, for I am a sinner. But I believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. We have to confess our sins, brethren. We can't go on in life unconfessing our sins. We have to confess our sins. We need to tell Christ our sins. And we need to go on and serve the Lord. Is there enough evidence in your life to find you guilty of being a Christian? Or is there enough evidence in your life to find yourself being guilty of a worldly person? You look at the person's life and you say, there's not much different than the Muslim friend that they have. There's not much different than the Jewish friend. There's not much difference in their life than the Catholic friend. There's not much difference in the unsaved friend as you look at the person's life. As a matter of fact, you see more of the world in them and less of Christ in them. Is there enough evidence to condemn you or to find you guilty of being a Christian? Zacchaeus wanted to be guilty of being a Christian. And he confessed his sins. And he looked to the Lord. Go to Christ. All of us today. I want us all afresh to go to Christ. Every single one of us. To confess our sins to Christ. But we all need to go to Christ for a fresh cleansing from our sins. This is what Zacchaeus did. Jesus Christ went to Jericho for a specific purpose. And that was to pluck a sinner out of a fig tree. And save his soul. Zacchaeus was the least likely candidate for salvation. He was a chief among publicans. Like Zacchaeus, we are undeserving of God's grace and mercy in Christ. But Christ came into the world to save sinners, my friends. Christ saved sinners by using means and at the appointed time. And there was fruit in the life of Zacchaeus. And that proved he was a regenerate man. Do you have this fruit in your life? Do you hear the call of Christ today in your heart? May the Lord help all of us to heed the gospel call this day. And that we might respond as Zacchaeus, obediently and gladly.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. I am Ron Barnes, pastor of the Heritage Free Presbyterian Church, located in the Hart Highlands area of Prince George. I warmly invite you to visit the church. We have Sunday school for children, young people, and adults beginning at 10 a.m. Our morning service begins at 11 a.m. and our evening service at 6:30 p.m. The church address is 4020 Folsom Road, Prince George, British Columbia, V2K1Z9. Our phone number is 250-962-8232. You can listen to other messages preached by Pastor Barnes on www.sermonaudio.com. Thank you for tuning in to Let the Bible Speak.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence.